Before Pat speaks, I would like to read from John chapter 3, verses 1 to 12, followed by chapter 19, verses 38-42. Now there was a Pharisee, a man named Nicodemus, who was a member of the Jewish ruling council. He came to Jesus at night and said, "Rabbi, we know you are the teacher who has come from God, for no one could perform the signs you are doing if God were not with him." Jesus replied, "I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. How can someone be born when they are old?" Nicodemus asked. "Surely they cannot enter a second time into their mother's womb to be born." Jesus answered, "I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless they are born of water and the Spirit. Flesh gives birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives birth to spirit. You should not be surprised at my saying, 'You must be born again.' The wind blows wherever it pleases. You hear its sound, but you cannot tell where it comes from or where it is going. So it is with everyone born of the Spirit." "How can this be?" Nicodemus asked. "You are Israel's teacher," said Jesus, "and you do not understand these things. I tell you, we speak of what we know, and we testify to what we have seen, but still you people do not accept our testimony. I have spoken to you of earthly things, and you do not believe. How then will you believe if I speak of heavenly things?" Now John chapter 19, verses 38-42. Later, Joseph of Arimathea asked Pilate for the body of Jesus. Now Joseph was a disciple of Jesus, but secretly, because he feared the Jewish leaders. With Pilate's permission, he came and took the body away. He was accompanied by Nicodemus, the man who earlier had visited Jesus at night. Nicodemus brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, about 75 pounds. Taking Jesus' body, the two of them wrapped it with the spices in strips of linen. This was in accordance with Jewish burial customs. At the place where Jesus was crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden, a new tomb, in which no one had ever been laid. Because it was a Jewish day of preparation, and since the tomb was nearby, they laid Jesus there. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for the scriptures. Bless Pat as she speaks on teaching Jesus to Nicodemus. May the words be meaningful to us and that we will be blessed. Amen.
Right, here we come to the word. Short on time. But Andy, when he asked me to speak this morning, he asked me to speak about Jesus and Nicodemus. The heading of this is Jesus teaching Nicodemus. Let's try and just unwrap these verses, starting with Nicodemus. Firstly, we don't have any details about his family life, his family background. I couldn't find anything in the scriptures that confirmed this. But all we do know is that he was born of Abraham's line. And we do know that he was Jewish. He was a very highly intelligent man. He was wealthy and powerful in his role as a Pharisee. A Pharisee, for someone maybe here who doesn't understand who a Pharisee is, it's someone part of a religious movement, a zealot for law and pure religion. He was also a member of the Sanhedrin, which is a ruling council, well respected he was for his teaching in the Old Testament and traditions. We know that Pharisees in the time of Jesus, they saw Jesus as a controversial figure. Yet we go on to read that Nicodemus had been seen and heard with Jesus and his teachings. He had observed the miracles that Jesus had done, and he was anticipating the arrival of the kingdom at the end of history. Now, being a very intelligent man, he was inquisitive. He needed to find out more about Jesus, who he was. Was he the real Messiah? Being intelligent, he thought, I must go and see Jesus. I must find out this man for myself. So he went, but he went by night. Now you might ask a question, if he was inquisitive, if he was an intelligent man, why did he bother going by night? Let's remember he was a Pharisee. And as I said earlier, the Pharisees, they didn't want to know anything about Jesus. They didn't want him as their Messiah. But yet we do know that as he went by night, it was because, simply because, he didn't want anyone seeing him. He didn't want the Pharisees seeing him around. Had anyone seen him, then, you know, he would have been called in for questioning, and he would have been dismissed, excluded from their council. Nicodemus knew the score, and he knew, didn't he, that he hadn't to be seen by day. But when it was late at night, there wouldn't be many people around, and so he was able to comfortably just go. Doesn't this sound familiar to us, friends, today? Even people not acknowledging Jesus, those who do acknowledge him, they can be separated from family. And I'm not just talking about this country, I'm talking about worldwide now. And they can be separated from their loved ones, from their marriages, from promotion at work. They can be ridiculed, just to name a few things that can happen to people who want to follow Jesus. How fortunate we are in this country, aren't we? You know, we can. Maybe people will mimic us, you know, because we're a Christian. I know that when I was in nursing, one of the doctors, when we was doing the ward round, he said to the staff, oh, he said, she's a Christian. He said, you have to bow down to her when she passes by. And that was about as much ridicule in that I had at that time. But yes, you may get it in the office, you may get it in your workplace. But friends, to us, what does it matter when we know what Jesus has done for us? Just going back to Nicodemus, friends, we see that he was seeking truth. And he wanted confirmation that Jesus was the true Messiah. Can we have screen one, please? Right. This might look familiar. Right, yes. He understood Jesus to be a teacher sent from God because he called him Rabbi, interpreting master. And he was saying, no one could perform these miracles if God was not with him. Rabbi is a title of honor and respected by Jewish people to their distinguished teachers. So when he went to Jesus, you know, asking the question, are you the true Messiah? What did Jesus say to him? You must be born again. Now, he said, this is an intelligent man that we're speaking about, but yet he hadn't had his eyes opened and he could not understand what it meant to be born again. So he asked the question, didn't he? Surely we cannot be born a second time into the mother's womb. Totally confused was Nicodemus. And then Jesus goes on to speak, doesn't he? He says, flesh will give birth to flesh, but the Spirit of God gives birth to spirit. To add a few verses which applies to us as well as Nicodemus, it explains what water and spirit mean. You must be born again. Verses 5 and 6, I'll just read them. Jesus answered, I tell you, no one can enter the kingdom of God unless he is born of water and the Spirit. Flesh will give birth to flesh, but the Spirit gives life to spirit. You should not be surprised at me saying, you must be born again. What about us, friends? Nicodemus was starting to understand the teaching of Jesus. He was starting to believe in what the Son of God, the Messiah, the Rabbi, was saying to him. And he felt that, yes, he needed to be born again. He understood the truth. And then the truth of being born of water and the Spirit. What does that really mean? In Ezekiel, and now Nicodemus would be well informed of this scripture, being an Old Testament teacher. And in Ezekiel it says, I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you will be clean. I will cleanse you from your impurities and from your idols. I will give you a new heart and put my spirit within you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit in you and move you to follow my decrees. Be careful to follow my sayings. Nicodemus understood this. He understood that scripture well. So then we move on to looking at what the water really means for us today. Well, it means purification. It means having our sinful life washed away by baptism. Now, please don't misunderstand me. This does not mean baptism is necessary for salvation, because many people come to Christ in their latter years, in the years when they're unable to get into a baptismal tank to be baptized. Many come to Christ when they're on their deathbeds. Will they go to heaven if they haven't been baptized? Of course they will. Jesus said, as to Nicodemus, though, you must be born again. And friends, this morning, maybe I'm speaking to the converted, and I'm sure I am, but we must make sure that we are born again, that we have had that water, that purification washed over us. Our sinful life has gone. We are in Christ. Born of the Spirit. What does that mean? Words we often use without knowing the full meaning. Born of the Spirit brings regeneration. What a lovely word, regeneration. The secret, the powerful operation of God, which brings salvation. What does that bring? A new life in Christ. Do you feel this morning that you have a new life in Christ? Can you honestly say, I am born again? These are the words that Jesus said. You must be born again to have eternal life. In section three, screen three, we cannot pass on without quoting chapter 3 and verse 16. For God so loved the world. Now we can all probably just repeat it. We've got the head knowledge of this. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but you're going to have eternal life. For God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe stands condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of God's one and only Son. I think if Nicodemus was listening to that, I think the challenge must have gone out there to him. He needed to hear these words. The Pharisees in those days, they needed to hear the word. And today, friend, the world needs to hear the word. As Chris was praying for the world this morning, it just came to me. Yes, the world is in such turmoil. What the world needs is Jesus. What people need today is to know the love of God, the peace of God. Friends, let us be a people who are prepared to go out there and bring the gospel to those who are uneducated, to those who are educated, to the rich, to the poor. Are we prepared to go and speak the truth of God's word? These people need to be born again because they're going to a lost eternity. When we look around at people, friends, and we see, you know, the unsaved, they're going to a lost eternity. What does that mean to you? What does it do to you? To me, it can break my heart at times when I think that they do not know the love of God. They do not know Jesus, the one who gave his life for them. Friends, let's be a praying people. Let's be an active people. And friends, let us be a people who is prepared. I know that we're going to be, later in the year, we're going to be looking at Alpha. Right, are we prepared to put our feet on the ground out there? Are we prepared if people come in asking about Alpha? Have we got the answer for them? Let's make sure. Let's make sure that these people have an opportunity to come to Christ. This is the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not of us. It's nothing that we can do. It is the work of God working through us. And for Nicodemus, you know, the Spirit of God must have been upon this man when his eyes had been opened to the truth. You know, I was wondering if Nicodemus really came to Christ. You know, there is nothing that I could find in the scripture that said he did. But when we look on at 19 and 38 to 40, it speaks about the burial of Jesus. We read about the death of Jesus. Joseph of Arimathea, he was also a secret believer in that time. He requested Pilate's body. He requested Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus to be taken down from the cross, and he wanted to bury him. Well, Nicodemus was on the scene at the time. Maybe he was standing back in the crowd because he was still a Pharisee, but he was an onlooker. But yet, when Joseph of Arimathea was granted his request to take Jesus down, Nicodemus comes forward, no longer a secret believer. He comes and he brings myrrh. He brings his spices. And he anoints the body of Jesus. What does this show? No longer a secret disciple. Do we want to be a secret disciple? Do we want people to know that we are Christians and what we stand for and the gospel, which is so important?